The MCAT Podcast, session number 85. A collaboration between the medical school headquarters and Next Step Test Prep, the MCAT Podcast is here to make sure you have the information you need to succeed on your MCAT test day. We all know that the MCAT is one of the biggest hurdles you'll face as a pre-med, but we're here to give you the motivation and information that you need to know to help you get the score you deserve so you can one day call yourself a physician. Welcome to the MCAT Podcast. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray, your host here every week. As always, I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Brian Snedeker from Next Step Test Prep. Now, last week we started a series for Psych Soch. This week we're continuing that series with our second installment. So let's go ahead and dive right in. All right, Brian, last week we started our Psych program, our couple weeks of Psych. And I was 2 for 2, so hopefully we can continue with some good success this week with more psych questions.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we'll do today is we'll transition a little bit. We'll start with one of our more bio-based psych questions and then move into two more kind of classical kind of psychology questions. Right. You want to lead us off with question number 10 here?
Yeah, so question 10, again, this is session 85 of the MCAT Podcast, so you can get this handout and follow along with us at themcatpodcast.com/85. Question 10 says, all of the following statements regarding the visual pathway are true except... A, the temporal fibers do not cross paths. B, at least some of the optical fibers do cross paths. C, at the optic chiasm, it is the nasal optic fibers that cross to opposite hemispheres. Or D, visual information does not travel through the parietal lobe. So, all of it is true except... I hate these except ones. So the temporal fibers do not cross paths. Okay. So temporal fibers, I'm assuming they mean the outside ones,
mm-hmm.
do not cross paths. And I think that is true.
Mm-hmm.
B, at least some of the optical fibers do cross paths. And that is true.
Mm-hmm.
C, at the optic chiasm, it is the nasal optical fibers that cross to opposite hemispheres. And I'm going to say that is true again. So that leaves mm-hmm. me with D as yep. being the one that's wrong.
Is the one that is correct,
the one
but
is correct
false.
Here. Yeah, correct.
Right, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There you go. So 3 for 3 on our psych series so far, Ryan.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that you can kind of see where the trick is in this question because, you know, you could walk into the test having remembered that the occipital lobe is where all the visual information is processed. And so if you're reading a little fast in D and you saw the word not and you saw the word parietal, you might go, well, that's true. But of course, the optic paths have to get to the occipital lobe and they traverse the parietal lobes as they get there. So in fact, they do travel through the parietal lobe.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, let's go to our second question. An 8-year-old child has recently developed the ability to understand the perspectives of her family members. According to Piaget, which stage has she entered? A, concrete operational. B, formal operational, C, pre-operational, D, sensory motor. Okay, so Piaget's stages. You want to hazard a guess on this one, Ryan?
I would not like to hazard a guess, other than it's not sensory motor.
Right, because sensory motor is?
Not that.
Right, is babies, right?
Yeah.
Sensory motor is 0 to about 2, roughly.
Yeah.
And so that's where the kids are developing object permanence, you know, understanding that what they see in the world stays there even when their eyes are shut. So the sensory motor stage is just babies. And in fact, the thing in the question about has developed the ability to understand the perspective of her family members is a little bit of additional information, but... theoretically is not absolutely required because they told you that the child is 8 years old and 8 falls smack dab into the concrete operational stage. Concrete operations is roughly 7 to 11. So pre-adolescent or school child age. So just the fact that the child is 8 years old alone would tell you that it's choice A, concrete operational. Formal operations is teenagers on up, right? So 12 or 13 on up from there. And that's the last of Piaget's stages.
Would they ever trick you? So I hate using the word trick, but mm-hmm. you said that the extra thing about ability to understand the perspectives is kind of extra information that maybe you don't know. But what if they said this was a six-year-old who has developed this ability?
Mm-hmm.
Would they ever throw in awkward ages, but more advanced?
So theoretically, they could. But like you said, you hate to use the word trick because they're not out to trick you, right? So if they were going to give you, what we might call an unusual presentation in the clinic, right? Oh, it's an unusual presentation of the illness. Mm-hmm. They would make a point of calling it out, right? The question might say something like, despite being 8 years old, the child is still unable to understand that other people have other perspectives. This tells us that the child is stuck in which of the following stages, mm-hmm. right? So it'd be real deliberate. Because again, they're not out to go, aha, gotcha. So in this case, an 8-year-old is concrete operational, formal operational is 12 and 13 on up. Pre-operational is your preschool, toddlers and preschools, 3 to 6 roughly. And sensory motor, like we said, that's babies and early toddlers.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So question 2 is the third question on here. Which of the following demonstrates the use of crystallized intelligence? A, an 18-year-old man visits France for the first time, buys a map at a local store, and uses it to navigate Paris. B, a doctor sees a patient with a variety of strange symptoms. Using logic and deductive reasoning, he accurately diagnoses her with a very rare disease. C, a toddler learns to walk after falling down during her first several attempts. Or D, an experienced accountant fills out several financial statements over the course of an hour. Crystallized intelligence. So it's funny. So I'm going to just wing this one here. Crystallized in my mind means like you have knowledge ingrained in your head. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't remember this from anything. And so if I were a pre-med taking the test, this is how I would think about it. Crystallized intelligence means it's something that I know. I don't need a map. So crystallized to me isn't using a map to navigate. Crystallized to me would be the doctor using logic and deductive reasoning because they've built up that intelligence over time and it's crystallized in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would answer it and go. I'd go with B.
Sure. Okay. So you got some real good reasoning, but B is not the right answer. So you're right in a sense. The contrast that the MCAT wants you to know here is fluid intelligence versus crystallized intelligence. Let's start with crystallized, what you had said. That's something that's fixed. You think of like a crystalline lattice structure in chemistry. It's solid, it's rigid, it's held in place. And so crystallized intelligence is something you have learned to do over a long period of time and is applying your previously learned knowledge. So not a new situation, not anything novel, not anything weird, something you're really, really good at doing. And in this case, if we look at the answer choices, answer choice A says an 18-year-old man visits France for the first time. So it's not the using a map so much, because if you were a professional map reader, you might have crystallized map reading intelligence. But again, they're not out to trick you, right? They put these clues in there. They use the phrase for the first time. So that tells you this is a person who is in a weird, new, novel situation and is using their fluid intelligence, their flexible intelligence, to solve a new problem. Get around Paris. I've never been here before. The doctor is the same way. Strange symptoms. Oh, this isn't something I've seen before. Using logic to diagnose a very rare disease. So the idea here is that the doctor is using their fluid intelligence to adapt to this novel situation and figure out what's going on. And then the child, a toddler, learns how to learning how to walk after falling for her first several attempts. Notice that word first there is just like first time in answer choice A. So A, B, and C are all fluid intelligence, being flexible to a new kind of learning. Mm-hmm. Whereas D, an experienced accountant, again, notice that word, experienced. That tells you, okay, this is somebody's done this a million times before. They're highly intelligent at it. They have this very fixed, very rigid sort of intelligence to fill out these financial statements. So it's not, there's nothing novel. It doesn't require any kind of fluidity or flexibility. It's just applying already learned knowledge to these forms.
All right. The accountant wins again.
There you go. It's all money in the end. There you go.
All right. There you have it. Again, more Psych Soc coming at you this week and again next week and the week after. We'll have a four-part series for Psych Soc. When I talk to students for advising, always, 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 when I talk to them about the MCAT, now, I don't advise them on the MCAT. When I talk to them about advising for their applications and stuff, they always tell me when we're talking about the MCAT that Psych Soc always seems to get them. There are those students out there that just click with Psych Soc, but a lot of them don't. And so hopefully these four episodes will help you solidify some understanding, at least for the topics that we cover here on the podcast. Don't forget that Next Step Test Prep has an MCAT course. Now, I've done a full review of that course on YouTube. So if you go to youtube.com, search for Next Step MCAT course. I think I'm the first one that pops up there last time I looked. Go check out that review. It's an amazing course with over 100 hours of videos, 10 live office hours every week where you can actually ask questions to a tutor. You get all of their full-length exams, all of the AAMC material, and so much more. Go check it out at nextstepmcat.com, and don't forget to check out the review that I did on YouTube. And you can save some money on the course by using the promo code MCATPOD. That's all capital letters, MCATPOD. Have a great week. We'll see you next time here on the MCAT podcast, where we'll dive into number 3 of a Psych Soc.